Hi, my name's Lisa Guthrie.
I'm Justin Claibert.
And we are both program managers with Microsoft's Developer Division. We're here today to talk to you about migrating your applications to Azure Virtual Machines. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk through your different Azure migration options at a very high level, so let you know some of the options that are out there for you. We'll talk about why specifically to migrate to Azure Virtual Machines, and then walk through a demo of moving a simple web application with a SQL backend from an on-premises environment into Azure. We're going to migrate the web application, we're going to set up continuous integration and continuous deployment for that web application, and then we're also going to migrate the SQL Server. We'll talk through some hybrid configurations that you may need to use if you're not able to totally shift your application into Azure from day one. And we'll also talk about some of the great Azure managed services that you might also want to look into. A little bit more work up front to move, but there are lots of great benefits to operating in a fully managed environment. So let's talk through some of the Azure migration options. Today we're going to focus on migrating your application into Azure Virtual Machines. But there are also a variety of managed services, as I mentioned, with Azure that you can migrate to, such as Azure App Service or Azure SQL for your SQL databases. You can also migrate your application into containers, and there are different pros and cons to each. We've chosen to focus on migrating to virtual machines in this particular talk because it's a great way to migrate quickly and with minimal code changes. So if you've gotten the edict that you need to shut down a data center, or if you have a piece of failing hardware that you'd rather migrate that those applications running there into the cloud rather than build a new on-prem machine, then Azure Virtual Machines are a great option. They also help reduce that infrastructure investment so that you're getting out of the business of managing an on-prem environment. You can move into Azure and let Microsoft manage more of that for you. Azure is also a great way to increase the scalability and the reliability of your application. You can scale up, scale down really easily to meet your load requirements. You can benefit from the increased reliability that comes with Microsoft managing your infrastructure. And it also gives you the opportunity to really modernize your DevOps. So you can have just a few clicks, you can have monitoring of your application. We'll talk about how to set up CI/CD so that you can have a really great deployment pipeline for your application. Lots of great benefits to moving to Azure. So I'm going to hand it over to Justin now. He's going to walk through the process of migrating a virtual machine, an application running a web application with a SQL backend, and moving that so that it's running on Azure Virtual Machines. So take it away, Justin.
Thanks very much, Lisa. Yeah, as Lisa mentioned, moving to virtual machines is a really good option. It's one of the simplest ways to lift and shift your application. If you've got stuff running already, you can take advantage of our Azure Managed Services, but some of that requires some code changes. If you want to take what you've got already and just lift it from your local on-prem services and put it on an Azure hosted managed service, then we're going to go through a bit of that today. I'm going to start by showing you, if we flick to my desktop here, I've got some code. I've got a solution set up. It's the Contoso University sample application from the ASP.NET. And I'll demonstrate it running locally on my machine, and then we'll show how we'll move it in two parts, but first by moving the web application and then separately by moving the SQL Server and then configuring it so that they talk to each other, and we'll see how we go from there. So if we flick over here, you can see on my screen that I have a solution. It's the Contoso University web application. And just for fun, we'll see if it runs. This will be a fun little live test. All right, so I've hit the run button. Now this is all running locally. I have a web app, and my local environment is simulating what might be on a corporate network, where you'd have a separate web application, a separate web server. Here we go, I have Contoso University website. It starts up, so that's a good sign. If I flick over to the students, it's going to access the database. It'll retrieve the records that I've got, and here you can see we've got two students already, Justin Claibert and Lisa Guthrie, showing up here.
Awesome.
Isn't that nice? So, and just for fun, let's just check that it's working locally. We'll put in Fred Flintstone, and he joined on the 1st of the 1st, 2017. and that entry should get added. We've got a working system locally. So now how do I get this working up on Azure VMs? Where do we start? Well, the first thing you want to do is to start provisioning VMs up on Azure. So let's take a look at the Azure portal. Here I have open the Azure portal. I'll open up to my dashboard. I've got a lot of things running on mine. You can see various different services and VMs running. I'm going to show you first how we create a virtual machine that you can host an ASP.NET web application. Over on the left-hand side of the Azure portal, we can click here to create a resource. Gives us a lot of options. There's also lots of different pre-built virtual machines. If you want a virtual machine that's got SQL Server on it, there's one there for you. If you want a virtual machine that's set up with developer testing, with Visual Studio and SQL Server Management Service, you'll find that as well. We also have some basic, basic VMs, just nothing but a clean machine, a Windows data server. Just wait for the page to refresh. This is all running live on the Azure portal at the moment. Now let's just see. I'll just bring this out again. In the meantime, just thought I'd mention that since we're live at the moment, we're able to take questions from our audience out there. So if you're out there and you've got some questions, you're wondering already about some of the benefits of Azure virtual machines that Lisa's mentioned earlier, ask us questions. Or if there's anything you'd like us to address in this 1 hour presentation, then please let us know. So let's talk a little bit about Azure portal concepts before we go too much further. There's the concept of a resource group in Azure. When you create a virtual machine in Azure, you get a whole bunch of things that come with it. The virtual machine itself, plus the network card that goes with the virtual machine. As well as that, that'll be part of a network security group, and there'll be various other services. All of those can be wrapped in a resource group. A resource group is just a virtual folder of items that you have access to. And one of the best things about the resource group is that you can easily delete them all in one go. So that's the concept of an Azure resource group. Here is a list of resource groups that I have at the moment. And the Contoso resources, this is what we will be getting towards. Here's an end result of lifting and shifting to the virtual machine. I've set up a Contoso resources group. And in this resources group, it's going to have a lot of there will be the VMs, the network cards. Here we go. Sorting by type, you can see we've got various disks associated with the virtual machines, certain automated services for shutting them down, IP address configuration, the virtual machines themselves. So all of this is part of the resource group of Contoso resources. I'm going to show you how we can create one of these things and add a virtual machine. When you go to create a virtual machine for the first time, you'll get the opportunity to set up a new resource group or combine your virtual machine into an existing resource group. So when we come through here to create a new resource, under the compute category, we should find all our web servers. They're just not showing up right now. So I'm going to find another way of doing this and jump straight into the virtual machines grouping here. Now it's loading up all the virtual machines that I have in my subscription at the moment. All right, are we getting there? In the meantime, it's worth noting that if you don't already have an Azure subscription, you can go ahead and sign up for free to Azure and you can gain access to some free credits so you can start playing around with new virtual machines on Azure. Here we go. So here's a bunch of virtual machines that I already have running. I'm going to create a new one. So we click Add. And it should ask what sort of virtual machine we're looking for. Let's search for Windows. It's slowly loading up now. While this is loading, why don't we discuss a couple of other concepts, shall we? Why don't we talk a little bit about the web app server, Microsoft's Azure's app server?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we're talking through Azure virtual machines for the most part today, once the portal loads. But there are a lot of different managed services as well that can be used to deploy your web application into Azure. So Azure App Service is a fully managed service that allows you to deploy your web applications, and then rather than even having to manage your virtual machines, Microsoft manages all of that for you. So, for example,
and that includes keeping the operating systems up and running,
exactly,
and also making sure that the connectivity is sorted out, backing up, scaling. So, if you need more resources, it will provision them as you need them, bring them down as you don't, so that you only pay for what you're using instead of having VMs that are constantly up and running.
Exactly, yeah. And it's just a few clicks. If it's Black Friday's coming up and if you're about to get slammed with a bunch of holiday shopping traffic, then it's a few clicks and you can scale up and you instantly get more web applications running. And then once Black Friday passes and you no longer need all that capacity, it's just a few clicks to scale back down again.
Quite handy. And in the meantime, my web browser's decided to respond, and I've got access now to the Create portal. So if you have a look over here, there's a bunch of templates that get presented, and I'm going to choose the Windows Server 2016 VM template. Now let's show you how we go through configuring this. It's just a few steps. We basically give it a name, give it a size, some admin username and password. So in this case, let's say I might call this one My Cloud Web VM, because I'm going to create a VM specifically for my web application. I'll create a separate VM later for my SQL Server database, and then we'll connect the two together. We need to create an administrator for the box, so I'll give it my name, Justin, and put in a password. I mean, create a password, make sure that they match. This is where it gets fun. We get to choose a resource group. So I'll create a new resource group for this one, and I'll call it my Demo Cloud Resources. So then when it creates the VM and all the associated services that go with it, it'll put them all in this resource group so I can easily find them later. The location is US West 2. I like to create servers close to where I'm physically located so the traffic is faster. If you're living in Australia, then you might want to choose the Australian East Coast or Australian Southeast if you're down in Victoria. Let's have a look. So I'll go to the next step. So I've given it a name, My Cloud Web VM. The next step, we get to choose the size. So we have the ability to choose super fast or relatively slow servers depending on how much capacity you need, the sort of response that you need. In my case, I'm going to have a very basic VM, so I'll look for one that's got a reasonable size, which also gives me a reasonable cost.
It's probably pretty easy to change that later too, right?
That's right.
If you needed more scale, another great benefit of Azure Virtual Machines.
Good point. When you choose a size at the beginning, it can easily be changed later as you need capacity. So let's see, I've clicked the OK button, and I'm just waiting for it to come up now. I might just need to give that another shot. So let's give that another go. Basic settings, we're going to call it my Cloud Web VM. Give it a username and a password. Create a new resource group, My Cloud Demo. And perhaps there's a field that I haven't filled out. There we go. Now we have an OK button. Click OK. It's validating. There we go. It's validating it now, creating the resources. In a moment, it'll flick over to the next tab and I can choose the size. Now, it's worth mentioning at this point, I'll come back to that. So here's our size picker. There's all sorts of machines with all sorts of availability. You can have machines that are permanently available. You can have them where they shut down frequently so that they are only needed when you're running on them. Here, I'm going to choose the DS1 V2 standard size, which gives me one CPU and 3.5 gigabytes of of RAM. As you can see, you can scale up. You can have two CPUs running with 16 gigabytes or four CPUs with 16 gigabytes. For mine, one CPU will be fine, so I'm going to choose this. It comes with two data disks and 7 gig of local SSD. So, and at an estimated monthly cost of $43 a month. And that little change depending on the region, where you are, all sorts of things. But mostly you can take that out of your free Azure credits, because you can sign up and get free Azure credits. Now, here's where we're going to configure the interesting parts about the network associated with the virtual machine. As we spoke about earlier, there'll be a virtual network. And I'm going to want to put all my servers in the same virtual network, my database server and my web server. I might have several web servers. I want them all in the same network. And here it's suggested that a new name for a network, it's going to call it the My Cloud Demo VNet. And I think that's a suitable name. It will set up an IP address for it, and it will set up a network security group. Now, you want to have a separate IP address associated with each machine, but when it comes to using network security groups, it's sometimes advisable to put all your web servers in one network security group and all your database servers in another network security group. That way, when you open firewall ports to that group, it applies to all the machines. So if you want to open port 80 to allow web traffic into one of your machines, if they're all in the same network security group, then those firewall groups rules apply to all of them. And it's going to create me all of those resources right there. Everything else looks fine. It, by default, it'll shut these things down at 7 p.m. Universal Standard Time, which could be any minute now. So watch out for machines shutting down. And that just saves me money. That way, if I forget about them, they shut down overnight, and if I'm not using them. But you can disable that so that they don't shut down. So go off to the next step. This is just to confirm. These are all the things that I've configured, and I hit Create. Now, this you can see up here that it's building, initializing deployment, creating, and if I show here, I get my notifications, and it's up and running. Now, just like a good cooking show, here's one I've prepared earlier. If we look over to my resource groups, I have already set up, I'm having some issues with this one. That's just because we're live, of course. But I've got resource groups already set up. And I have a resource group which is dedicated for my cloud resources. While this is loading, I see we've got a question from the audience here. Lisa, will you read that, please?
Yeah, so somebody was asking about getting started with the PaaS version of SQL Server reporting services. So how can you have a fully managed SQL Server server reporting services instance? And unfortunately, that's not supported right now, not a fully PaaS option. Of course, you can always choose to run that in a virtual machine.
All right. Thanks, Lisa. And in the meantime, looking over at my cloud resources that I've set up earlier, I have got a VM, my cloud web VM2, which is just a basic VM that we just created, like the one we created just now, cloud web VM2. So had I continued with that setup, would have got a resource group with a virtual machine, a network IP address, network security group. Now, when I come in to this machine, I can see in the overview that here it is. And it's got a public IP address there. And it's set up. I'd like to connect into this machine so that I can start setting it up. So this machine is Cloud Web VM2, and I've already connected into it to save a little bit of time. Just wait for it to wake up, and here it is. So when you connect into a virtual machine, for audiences who haven't seen how we connect in, there's a button up here that says Connect, and when you press Connect, it downloads an RDP file, a remote desktop file. And when you go to run it, it immediately opens a remote desktop connection, which you can then log in, and here you are. When you go to a brand new server, it's just gone black. When we come into a brand new server for the first time, it'll look a bit like this. It'll have the server manager dashboard, which gives you access to the roles and features so you can configure things for your machine. So this is a clean machine, and here's how. Just like any other virtual machine you would set up for your web hosting, you add the roles and the features, whatever else you need. I'm going to step through that so I can show you what it would look like to configure a virtual machine for ASP.NET 4.6. If you've got ASP.NET Core, if you're running 3.6 or some other different version, there'll be different components you need to install. I'll show you the ones that we go through for ASP.NET 4.6. So we step through the roles and features until we can look at the server roles. At this point, I want to find and install IIS. That's Microsoft's web server. So I tick IIS, and it brings down the IIS management tools. I'll accept that. That's great. and go to next. At this point, I'll skip over that one, and it gives me the opportunity to configure the web server specific features. So, now we keeping up. Am I going too fast, Lisa? Mm-hmm.
No.
All right, so here are all the features that come by default with IIS. And there's one that I'm very interested in. I want to make sure that I've got the developer tools for ASP.NET 4.6. So, as soon as this responds, what we're looking for, specific node you want to turn on, is, where is it? Okay, all right, it seems to be responding now. Forgive my slow responses here. I'll just be very patient with my mouse.
And you're just working with the virtual machine here, just like it's a physical server, it looks like.
That's right. Yes, this is just like I would be working on any other physical server on my network. Well, here we go. Application development, that's the one. So if you want ASP.NET 4.6 stuff to work, make sure that you include the ASP.NET 4.6 application development tools, which are hidden right here. As soon as I select that, it has some other required components it needs, the extensibility, ISI API extensions. So it will offer for me to install those. Say yes, please, plus the ASP.NET 4.6 framework. So now that that's in, and the other thing I want to do is so that I can deploy from Visual Studio or any other web deploy, I'm going to include the management service. That lets me use Visual Studio and some of our published profile wizards so that I can push my web application up to this server really easily.
No more zipping up stuff and copying
FTPing
zip
the
files
across.
Exactly,
yeah. No. As well as that, there's some other neat benefits that we'll talk about later about how it can change your connection strings on the fly. So now it's all set up. We've configured our components. We click install. This kicks off, starts installing these features. When that's completed, we'll download and install web deploy. And I'm going to talk through that right now. If you want to be able to deploy to a virtual machine using web deploy in Visual Studio, you need to have web deploy installed on the virtual machine. So what we can do, first thing we need to do is I want to download it from the internet. And these virtual machines are locked down so that you can't download executables on the internet. So I'm going to go into the server configuration and just tell it to relax some of the internet security for IE. You'll find if you start a virtual machine that because of the default policies, things are locked down and safe. You might need to open up a couple of things if you want to get in and do things that you might do on your local machine. It's for your own protection. So I'm going to remove protection for the administrator in IE enhanced security by choosing the IE default security on, turning it off for administrators. So now, as me, as the administrator, I'll be able to use Internet Explorer to download executables, which I need to install in my box. So now I'll open Internet Explorer. Oh, these VMs still come with Internet Explorer, isn't that great? All right, and we'll take the standard settings. And here I want to look for Web Deploy 3.6. Download. I have blogged about this stuff, and there are docs where I provide the links for what you need to do, as well as all these steps. All these steps are documented, and we'll be providing the links to those documentations in the threads following. In the meantime, I will go to the Microsoft official download site for Web Deploy 3.6. It's important, critical, that the web management service is installed first, or else there's a quirk with Web Deploy 3.6 and it might not install and run correctly. So make sure that you follow the same steps that I just went through now and have the management service enabled and configured and installed before attempting to install Web Deploy 3.6. In the meantime, it's just a regular download from the internet. These machines that I just set up will use the AMD 64 variety on ENU, and I'll choose to accept that download 6 megabyte file. Allow it to come through. Let me just click that properly. Okay. And it should start to download. And then I can run it. Does a security scan to make sure that it's good. And then it will launch. In the meantime, let's see how our installation's going. A moment ago, we asked it to install some roles and features, and here they are. Feature installation successful. So that's all done. What we've done now is, with this, is we've installed IIS. So now we have a web server up and running, and we also have a management service installed. However, both of those things, IIS and web management service, require firewall ports to be opened for anyone in the internet to use them. So we will need to configure firewall ports 80 and 8172. But in the meantime, let's continue with our web deploy installation. This is pretty simple. We just choose the complete setup, take all the components available. It doesn't take too long, and that will install web deploy. That's the software that sits on the virtual machine that's listening for commands to push and deploy applications.
This is what gets me out of my FTP zip files all over the place.
That's right.
This component right here.
No more downloads.
A little bit of
zip,
magic.
FTP copy, unzip, deploy. All right. So this now, meanwhile, that completes the setup of this virtual machine from the machine. There's two things we need to do in the Azure portal. We need to go and open those firewall ports and give it a DNS. So coming back to the Azure portal here, we were working with Cloud Web VM2. So actually, I wasn't expecting to be able to have that up and running and installed working so easily. So I was going to flick back to another one. But since that one is working, let's go. Was that which VM was I working in then? Was it Cloud Web? No, it was Cloud Web 1. All right, so in Cloud Web 1, I want to make sure I open the firewall port. So where are we? Cloud Web 1. Let's go have a look at this. Under networking on the left here, we can choose that. And it shows, now it's going to show all the networking options for the network security group that this is part of. And I'll be adding extra web servers to this network security group, but it just surfaces them all here. And as you can see, I've got no port 80, so I can't get in, and no port 8172 for web deploy. Here, there's a button on the right that says add inbound port rule. Click over to that. Let's see. I want to open up port 80, so the port range 80. I'll just give this a priority of 100. And I'll give it a name. This is my HTTP rule. So create that. Lovely, and it's creating that right now. And now I'll open up another port for web deploy. Web deploy needs to use port 8172. That priority's fine, and I will give it a name. I'll call it web deploy. So we will create that firewall rule as well. So having now opened up these ports, there's one more thing we need to do, is if we want to use web deploy using the Visual Studio 2017 web publishing wizards for Azure Microsoft Virtual Machines, we need a DNS name configured. Plus, it makes life easier all around the place. So let's give it a DNS name. It helps to give it the same name as the virtual machine name itself. So my VM is called Cloud Web VM1. So I'll call this one Cloud Web VM1.WestUS2. And it gets it joins the Microsoft Azure domain here. So just something interesting, sometimes it waits for you to enter your name before these buttons show up. So if you click outside and then move your hand a bit, then the save button becomes enabled, and then you can save that DNS name. So on Cloud Web VM1, we now have ports open for HTTP and web deploy, and we've got a DNS name configured. That's been saved. So, and there it is showing up now. So we can see this is our DNS name. Let's see, I suppose the next thing to do is to see if we can actually push a web application to this server. Fingers crossed, let's see how we go. In Visual Studio, here's my application, which I momentarily recently ran in local.
So now you're back on your development workstation, right?
I am, that's right. So this is my local box, and I've got Visual Studio set up, and let's have a look at the web config. You can see that here I've got a connection string, and I'm pointing to my own local box. But I'd like to deploy to the new virtual machine we just made. So I'll show you how to get into here. Under the solution, there's Connected Services tab. And in here we have Publish. And if you have no Publish profiles already, you'll immediately get this box, which allows you to create new Publish profiles. I'll step through how we do it. Microsoft Azure Virtual Machines has its own node. And when you press Browse, it will search through of all your accounts It will look through all the virtual machines that you have in your subscriptions.
And what version of Visual Studio is required for this?
Visual Studio 2017 has the publishing. This latest version that I'm showing now is the tools available as part of the Visual Studio 2017 15.5 preview, which that's currently available as a preview. And with that, we get the new experience where you can browse for this. Now, just make sure it's kicking off. It takes a little while to search for all the virtual machines.
Because it's actually connecting up to Azure right now to look for those names?
That's right. And it's looking through all my accounts, all my subscriptions, all the resource groups and all the subscriptions. And it's trawling through those trying to pick out all my virtual machines. So I might skip over. I've created some of these profiles already. Once you've selected your virtual machine, it creates a profile like this one that I have here on my screen. And when you look in the settings, I have a few. Let's see, Cloud Web VM1. And if you look in the settings, it shows you the way it's configured. It will try to push to this server and to port 8172. That's my web deploy port, which I opened moments ago. You can enter the username and password. And at that point, you enter the username and password of the machine as you created it earlier. And you can validate the connection by pressing this button. Validate connection, and if it's all working, if all your ports are open, if web deploy is started, then this should go through and we'll get a big green tick. If it's not, it's sometimes a good idea to go back and make sure that your machine didn't go to sleep, because that does happen, as discussed earlier, by default. So let's have a look now. Flicking over to Azure, I see Cloud Web 1. Looks like it's running nicely. So hopefully, now I got some errors here, and that's not uncommon. It can be a bit tricky to get everything up and running. At this point, it might be worth digging in just to have a look at the things you want to check to make sure that it's running. So we'll jump over to the machine, Azure Cloud VM 1. Oops. Now, here, where are we? We want to make sure that the web deploy service is working. And you can check all these things from the server. All servers shows you all the services running here. Also, sometimes it doesn't hurt just to try it twice in case it was asleep. Now, just for fun, I wonder if we should try a different machine. Did configure the second machine, so I wonder if on our live demo we'll see if we can get access to that. Oops, I've just hit the publish button. Well, assuming it was connected and configured correctly, this publish, we're still struggling to log in at the moment. I think I've just slightly broken my machine. So why don't we take a quick talk to our viewers while I have a look and see what's going on with this one.
Yeah, so if anybody's got any questions, feel free to ask them as we wait for this to get up and running.
Okay, so.
And I was noticing it too, as you were going through the publish options, there were a variety of different publish options or different ways to get those web applications up into Azure or off to an on-premises server as well. So I saw App Service in there, for example.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
That I was just talking about earlier.
This is the Microsoft Azure App Service.
So through the same experience, the same dialogue, you're able to publish up to App Service if that's your
It's worth mentioning
destination.
IIS is another option too, because we are running an IIS server. Mm-hmm. You can use IIS publishing directly to the virtual machine. Now, it's possible my machines have just gone to sleep because I haven't given them enough love. I will reconnect into these virtual machines. Oh, it's just and I'll show you how that's done through Azure. So in Azure, I'll bring up Cloud Web VM1. That's the one I want to push to. I'll go through the virtual machines list again. Now, while this is coming up, what else? I suppose we haven't mentioned Azure Functions yet. Probably worth talking about. Azure Functions is new, fancy. It's a nice way of developing your application so that it's built into smaller components that run when they're needed on hosted infrastructure. What can we say about Azure Functions? It's serverless is what they call it. You don't need to create a server. You just create the functions, and we'll manage the servers and ensure that the little bits of code that you need to run are where you need them. But we'll talk more about that in a minute. Cloud Web VM1, I'll open this up, and I'll create a new connection to it. So I'm going to connect in here. I've got my DNS name, that's set up. I will also open here. This is what happens. You get an RDP file. You can open that RDP. Launches straight in. And this, you can jump in. Don't use your work account. You've got to use the username and password that you created earlier.
Because that virtual machine is sitting off. It's not part of your network, or the authentication is not.
That's a good point.
Doesn't automatically, as soon as you create that VM in Azure, it's really part of a separate network and not part of your corporate network.
It's not on the same network, exactly. Let's have a look at some of the things that, I'll show you how I do diagnostics on my VMs. So in the VM, there's Windows administration tools. I want to check a couple of things. You want to open up IIS and make sure that the web deploy tool is turned on. So Internet Information Services, IIS Manager, is here, and we'll start that up. All right, here it is. So in IIS, I can open up my server, which is called Cloud Web VM1. And here, down to the websites, default website, this is the website that I'm trying to publish to now. Now, up in the server, I've got this node here called Management Service. That's there because I installed that Management Service component earlier. And this is what controls publishing remotely. You'll see it is set to enable remote connections, and it's got Windows credentials and IIS Manager credentials. That's good. So that's what we want. I'm going to restart that now just to make sure it's going. The other thing to look at is the firewalls. So the local machine itself. We can open up all the ports we like up on Azure, but if the ports are not open locally on the machine, no traffic's going to get through.
Two levels of firewalls to fight your way through.
That's right. So it's worth keeping that in mind.
The more the merrier.
So here is the Windows Firewall and Advanced Security. And if I open that up, we're looking for port 8172, which is the web deploy port, and we're going to look for port 80, which is the HTTP port. So in the inbound rules, I'll expand this a bit bigger. And toward the end, this is where keyboard shortcuts come in handy. Control End takes me to the bottom. It's just a bit slow today. Here we go. So we're looking for World Wide Web Services. This is our HTTP, this one right here. That's the secure port, 443. And down here, port 80. This one was our regular web public port. Where is it? So here, 8172. We've got our web management service. It's on 8172, and that's running too. So it looks like it's well configured. But as, of course, whenever there's a live demo, these things go to sleep and stop working. I'm going to give it one more shot, and then we're going to move on and talk about the SQL Server migration. So in Visual Studio, Cloud Web 1, settings, there's my username and password. This looks good. Validate connection. And that failed. So I'm sorry, live audience, I wasn't able to get this one working correctly. But the idea is that with various published profiles, you can publish your web application to different machines. And we'll get back in and have a look at that in a minute. But for now, let's talk about our SQL Server migration. Mm-hmm. So this is the hard one. People need to often have requirements, legal requirements or just corporate requirements, where they need to keep data on one machine. So it becomes difficult to migrate everything up to the cloud when you have to physically host your data somewhere. We'll be able to talk about hybrid options later for how you can slowly or not at all move your data and still use your Azure virtual machines to connect into that in a private network. But for now, let's talk about how we would go to create a VM that's just like the VM you've got on your on-prem, so you can lift and shift your database over using a backup and restore. So in the Azure portal, we can create a new resource, just like we did before. This time, we're going to want to see if we can use one of those pre-built templates. It took us a while, as you saw, to go in and set up ASP.NET, and setting up SQL Server can take a while too. So when this loads, I'll search for a template for SQL Server.
And that will have SQL all installed and everything, so you don't have to go out and download that and install it?
It will, that's right. It also allows you to configure users that it will add at the time. So you, it does installation as well as some basic configuration. Oops, I chose the wrong VM. By default, I've chosen the Windows Server VM, but I'll show you, you can use the search here to search the marketplace. And if I put in SQL Server 2017 and search, then it searches the marketplace. We have a lot of these Azure templates up on the internet. Oop, just dropped. Internet's a fun thing. So we've got a lot of these templates up on the internet. Various members of the public contribute templates all the time, and we at Microsoft contribute some too. I'm currently working on a new template for an ASP.NET web app, just like the one you saw. Wouldn't that be useful?
That's handy.
And in the meantime, I have developed one that's sitting on my GitHub repo. So you can use that today. And again, there'll be links to that after this. So you can get up and running straight away with a template for an ASP.NET web app with web deploy.
So does that save you all the steps that you were showing us before? It's basically doing automating that?
Right. Once it takes in the name of a VM, a username, a password, then it will set everything else up for you. So that saves you all the time of building it, as well as configuring ASP.NET and the web deploy and the management service. I'm just jumping into my Azure portal now. Oh, and I haven't been keeping a good idea on check of time, but I think we're doing all right. Let's see. My Azure portal's still loading. I'll show you what the end result will be. We will create a SQL Server VM. And it will end up, here's one I prepared earlier, my Cloud DB VM1. Although, if I'm suffering internet connection problems, I'm not going to get that any better than I'll get my Azure portal.
Oh, well, so, looks like it may be coming.
So that probably means it's another good opportunity for a little chat.
Yeah.
Why don't we start talking about the hybrid options?
Nope.
Hold on a sec. Here we go.
Stop the process.
Actually, after all of that, that's not the VM that I wanted. So I'll go get that, yep, that VM. Well, let's talk about hybrid options.
Yeah, exactly. So what you're going to show us is if you've got full clearance to take your SQL Server and move all that data right into Azure. But what if that's not possible? Are there other options? And in fact, there are.
Can you tell me first? Let's say I don't want to move my SQL Server. I want to keep my SQL Server on my network, my corporate mm-hmm. network. But I want to move my web apps and my other compute
exactly.
services.
Yep.
So what's the best solution for that? What options are available?
Yeah, so there's a great option called Site-to-Site VPN, which essentially allows you to set up a VPN connection between your Azure virtual network and your on-prem environment. So then resources on both sides of that VPN connection are able to talk to each other, just like if they were in the same network.
So Site-to-Site VPN. So we configure all the IP addresses on the Azure server to be the same right. as the IP addresses on my local machine. On my corporate network, and then they'll act as one virtual network.
Right, you install a component called a VPN gateway, or you create it. It's an Azure service, so it's not a physical piece of hardware, of course, but that goes on the Azure side, and then that connects to a VPN gateway on your on-premises side, and then they're able to talk to each other. So the scenario that you just gave of, I want to move my web application, but I'm not ready to move my SQL databases yet.
Right.
You can keep the SQL databases on an on-prem server and still move your web application, the web server, into Azure.
Now, that sounds like a very good idea, especially let's say you've got a company that's writing desktop client applications, but it's doing a lot of computing that uses the database occasionally. So you want to keep your database local. You need it all to be fast, but the compute services can back up, and using Azure for its scaling abilities is a great way to go. So then let's say you could take your compute services, put them up on Azure, and then as you need more power, they will just automatically grow and shrink for you when you don't need them. But then you don't need to worry about the hassle of moving your data from your on-prem. So while you're still working through corporate issues, legal issues, then you can continue to connect while immediately taking advantage of the fast-growing, scalable, reliable systems on Azure.
Exactly. So it doesn't have to be an all or nothing. Either you're in Azure or you're not in Azure. You can have pieces that make sense to run in Azure and the pieces that you still leave on-prem, and that can be a slow migration or they can just stay on-prem permanently.
So that helps us get around the issue of having private network connections so that nobody else can access our data. But what about the other, what if I want to get faster access? If we're going over a public internet between two separated networks, there might be lag. What can I do about that?
Absolutely, and there's an option as well called ExpressRoute, which essentially gives you a dedicated connection into Azure that's much, much faster. So it's the similar idea of you've got a VPN connection going, it's just a matter of what's the network infrastructure like in between Azure and your on-prem environment.
And what do you mean by the dedicated? Can you expand upon that? When you say dedicated infrastructure, we're talking at the ISP level.
Exactly.
We're talking about, so in each country, the various providers of internet services have got dedicated bandwidth and pipes that connect into Microsoft's Azure services. And so if you want a faster connection without going over the slow internet, you can contact your local providers in the country that you're in and arrange to have ExpressRoute services so that even though you're physically separated, the connections between the networks are as fast as they can be.
Exactly, yeah. And that's why we call it ExpressRoute.
ExpressRoute. All right. Okay. So that's interesting. Yeah. But and can I hook up an entire network to another network through ExpressRoute?
Your entire on-premises network to an Azure network? Yes, exactly. And so that exposes, if you've got multiple SQL servers, for example, you don't need to configure them separately. They just work.
Though the ExpressRoute goes from one machine to another machine. So you'd have multiple direct pipes because the ExpressRoute, unlike the VPN, connects just one machine to another machine in a direct pipe that way. Very interesting. Good chat. In the meantime, let's come back and have a look at this. I've got my SQL Server 2017 Enterprise template running. And when you have an Azure template, it lets you fill in fields and creates things for you. The first things look like the same as what we had earlier. So I'm going to have a name. It'll be My Cloud DB VM because this is going to be for my database. Again, I'll give it a username. I like to use the same name. It's the one my mother and father gave me. Good password validation failed because I didn't keep them the same. That's better. Now, here's where it gets fun. I want to use the same resource group that I had the last one in. So I can choose Use Existing Resource Group and find the MyCloud Demo resource group that I created earlier. By doing that, it's going to keep all my things lumped together nicely, which is great. And now I can press OK. Now at this point, we get to set up the virtual networking. Often I will combine all my databases together into one network security group, but this is the first database that I'm creating for this one. So I'll have it create a new group. Oh, forgot to choose the size. I will show you the size experience. There are a lot of servers that are available. And if you're looking for a SQL server, you probably need more RAM, more CPUs than a basic web server. So they've shown recommended options with some pretty beefy ones here. And they'll cost you as well. But if I go view all, it shows me all the options that are available. And I'm going to scan through these, looking for a nice little small one. Maybe one with one CPU. Here we go. What about one CPU and 3.5 gig? That'll do me. So I'll choose select on that one.
So it can really go, Azure can scale from, that would be great for a development environment, and then all the way up to production. And it's the same basic process.
Perfect. In fact, good thought. Because then as you go to play around, a lot of people want to play around with these services first. Then as they start becoming effective and you move more things to it, bump up the size, bump up the speed. Now, configure optional features. All right, so we've done the size. Now we do the network. Why don't we take a break while it's loading this? Let's talk about, what was the other thing we wanted to talk about at the end?
Can you talk through some of the PaaS options for SQL? So you're going through and you're setting up a SQL VM now, but right. I've talked about App Service from the web application side, how it's great, Microsoft manages a lot of the infrastructure for you. Is there an equivalent option for SQL?
Yes, so we have three ways, or you, customers, have three ways that you can have data on Microsoft SQL Service. One of them is the virtual machine options, which we're showing now, which is great to just get you up and going, lift and shift. Take what you've got, just like on your corporate network. If you can take the time to make a few small changes, you can take advantage of the app service, Azure SQL, which is like the app service. It's we manage the entire SQL server and everything associated with it, and you just access it sort of behind the walls. Then there's another option, which is the Azure Managed Servers, which is in preview at the moment. And it's just like the VM option, except we're looking after the OS patches and the software patches. So it's kind of like setting up your own VMs and having Microsoft come in and do your IT for you.
Nice.
So that's in preview. And that'll be a really good option for a lot of people. And then the most complete option is to move to a Azure SQL database, where we physically host everything in our platform as a service. And so that's a migration path that people can consider. In the meantime, back on our screen here, it's brought up all the networking options. I'm going to accept all these defaults here, but at this point it's worth noting that if you wanted to join an existing network security group, here you have the option to fly this out and choose from what are the network security groups you already have configured. That way you get all the firewall rules set up. Otherwise, we click OK, moves to this extra step that we get only with the SQL Server templates, which is it lets you choose, importantly, look at this first drop-down, SQL connectivity. A lot of people need public access to the web servers, but they want the database sitting behind the firewall, but it needs to be accessible within the network to the web servers. So here you'll see the default option for connectivity is the private within virtual network. Or you can choose public internet if you want to be able to connect into this from your local box or local only, so it's completely locked down to that server. So it's worth noting those options. And I typically choose private virtual network. At this point also, I advise people to enable SQL authentication because sometimes a connection string can be very difficult. Using SQL authentication is one of the better ways of connecting a web application. So I might create a user like Contoso and give it a password. Let's see if it accepts that. There we go, a couple more characters. And now it will, when it creates the SQL server, it will also configure that user. And then I'll be able to use that to connect in. At this point, it'll show the summary and it'll get up and running. And when we kick it off, we'll end up with a database like the one we saw earlier. Here's one I prepared earlier, my Cloud DB. And it will have SQL Server installed and running, ready for you to use in your web application. Now, as we're running out of time, I'm going to quickly jump ahead and show one other cool thing. So we've moved our web application to the web server. We've set up a VM for the database, and we can use a standard backup and restore option. If you want to, you take your database from your local, right-click on it, choose tasks and backup, and then you can create a full backup of the data. Click OK. Backup is created into your backups folder, and here I've got a link to my backups over here. When we jump into, then you can jump into the virtual machine, and you can connect to your virtual machine with access to your local C drive. Pull the backup over and use the restore option in SQL Server to restore the data and get it back down. So that's how you would physically migrate through a backup and restore option. Then once that's done, in Visual Studio, now this is tricky. Of course, you need to change the connection string. We've now put a web app up. It used to point to my local database. We need to tell it to point to the new one. So I will show you what the connection string looks like. And also, the Visual Studio Publisher has this one advantage. When I publish my web app using the Visual Studio Publishing Wizard, it has the ability to modify the web config on the fly. I'll show you the web config is over here. We looked at it earlier, and there's this connection string. And I need this connection string to change. And each deployment might have a different one. But there's settings. And under the settings, we looked at these earlier, how we connect and publish. But in these settings, it's plucked out in from my web config that I had an app setting called school context. And here I can provide a new connection string. And I've configured it now to connect to Cloud DB VM 1, and I can provide a username and password for that. And then when I publish, it will change the web app config and push that up. It's also worth noting there's a flag here for publishing for remove additional files at destination. If you already had files on your web server, it will clear them out and make sure they all go through. So that's the steps of how to get your web app, your SQL Server database, get them connecting. And so hope you can take something out of that. There's various ways, if you can't move everything, of moving things one at a time. But other than that, I think we'd better wrap up. Was there any other questions from the users? Something about... No? Okay, so over to Lisa again then.
Yeah, one of the links that I just wanted to make sure that our users had, aka.ms/lift-and-shift. We've just put together a lot of great guidance around these scenarios, including migrating to virtual machines, as well as migrating to containers, migrating to Azure App Services, content to help you decide which one is right for you. So I encourage you to go check that out.
That's right, and then that'll be growing as we find more and more ways of you going up to the Azure.
Exactly.
So in summary, this is our Azure virtual machines approach. And so as you can see, you can take your corporate hosting, move to Azure virtual machines, lift and shift it over there, and let us start looking after your machines for you. Look for Lift and Shift for more help. Otherwise, thanks for tuning in. I've been Justin Clairbert, Lisa Guthrie. Thanks very much.
Thank you.